Hello, movie marathoners, and welcome to the Movie Marathoners Sundance 5K series, a series of short episodes centered on the films released at the 2021 Sundance Film Festival. I'm your host, Mati, and in this episode, I'm honored to get the opportunity to interview Alejandro Mejia, the cinematographer of the Mexican-American film Son of Monarchs, which had its premiere at Sundance on January 30th. Son of Monarchs is directed by Alexis Gambis, and the synopsis is, after his grandmother's death, a Mexican biologist living in New York returns to his hometown nestled in the majestic monarch butterfly forests of Michoacán. The journey forces him to confront past traumas and reflect on his hybrid identity, sparking a personal and spiritual metamorphosis. I was able to catch this film with an early screener and got to record my thoughts on it with Rosa Parra in another episode of the Sundance 5K series, so definitely be sure to check that out. But in short, I thought this film was excellent. I loved the blend of science and drama, and while it's a lot to chew on at times, the journey is beautiful and incredibly rewarding. And one of the very first things that I said about this film is that it's a beautiful film to look at. The cinematography is defined, and it gives a wonderfully crisp and naturalistic feeling to the film. This is obviously in no small part due to the cinematographer, Alejandro Mejia. Alejandro is a part of the Mexican Society of Cinematographers, and he has a rich history of working on both feature films and documentaries, making him an ideal choice for this docudrama hybrid. We had a great conversation about this film. Alejandro was incredibly kind, and he provided so many insights into how this beautiful film came together. So check out that interview coming up now. All right, I'm joined by Alejandro Mejia, the cinematographer for the gorgeous film that premiered at Sundance, Son of Monarchs. Alejandro, thank you so much for joining me. It's an honor.
Thank you, Mati, for having me. I'm also so happy to join today.
How's your festival been? Do you get to like check out some things, or is it mainly just interview?
No. Actually, it's. I'm so happy this year because I've been watching a lot of films. That's my second time at Sundance. I was there in 2018, and of course, I miss like the vibe and the energy inside the theater. But for me, it's been so nice to watch. Like, I don't know, I'm watching around 5 films per day, so wow. I'm so excited on that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Same here. And this is my first time at Sundance. So I know nothing different, but I'm hoping that next year things are finally back to normal and I can be cold over there instead of cold in Boston. So I wanted to start by asking you, Alejandro, what drew you to the project Son of Monarchs? And just in general, how do you choose which projects to be a part of?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. In that sense, I met Alexis Gambis, the director. I think I'm from Mexico, but I moved like around 10 years to Brooklyn. And I think Alexis and I, we met like 8 years ago. And since we met, he started to talk about this project, no? Because I'm Mexican. And I think he was very curious about how it's like the Day of Death there and like all these like rituals. And then slowly we collaborated in another projects. He's a scientist and a filmmaker. And at the end, yeah, he shared the first draft of the script, and I felt very identified with the character. No, at the end, we're both immigrants. Alexis is French Venezuelan and Mexican, but we both work here in New York. And I think I found so many things on the script that I was like, oh yeah, this is like me or my friends. No, that mm-hmm. is different kind of migration. And then, yeah, like when Tenoch got attached to the project, like I think he's a very interesting actor, and I was so happy that he was someone like not the classic white Sican, as we said in Mexico, is playing this role. So it was like not the brown guy that of course could be a scientist, and it's like I think it was a good chance to be part of a project where we can like slowly change these ideas of like who needs to be doing that, no? And then as usual, sometimes as DP, you have other offers. I was like in the middle of 2 projects. The other one was also very powerful and interesting, but it was somehow my heart was telling me you should go and do this Son of Monarchs and reconnect with Mexico and work with Tenoch. And I think I made the right choice, and we're happy to, yeah, screen it at Sundance, no?
Yeah, well, I think you made the right choice too, because the very first thing that I said when I reviewed this film is that it is gorgeous to look at. And I recorded that review well before we had this interview scheduled. So you know that it's not just me kissing your ass right now. But the film has this very crisp and naturalistic style. And I think even when you're filming the indoor and the city scenes, it keeps that style. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was beautiful. Could you talk a little bit how you came to that decision and what specific lenses you used to capture that?
I think that's one of my signatures because I started my career as a still photographer and mainly like a street photographer also. And then my background is more in documentary at the beginning. Then I made like more narrative fiction films. But then, I don't know, like 5 years ago, they started to reach out to me on documentaries to do like kind of the fiction parts. And I started to collaborate in a lot of hybrid things, no? And then last year, I was very lucky to be part of this project 499, which we premiered at Tribeca. And I got like the Best Cinematography Award there. Then I got the Golden Frog in November at the Camera Image in Poland, which is the dream for any cinematographer in the world. And I was jumping exactly the last day we were shooting 499 immediately to Son of Monarchs. I was in a band to the scouting. And I was experimenting at 499, not using any lights. That was like my kind of experiment and dogma with the director, with Rodrigo. And 499, I was like, I'm just going to go with available light. And it came out so well that then I was like, yeah, I was kind of like doubting, of course, always, no, of like, oh, should I bring more lights? And
yeah.
And it's this classic feeling of any DP, you know, that we have always like, because it's such an expensive craft that we cannot practice as much as writers or the painters, no? And so, but in that sense, I was very confident that that my style is that, it's naturalistic, and Alexis was sharing that. So I brought that to Son of Monarch. So, and also I think it's part of this kind of all like a Mexican cinematography style now that is like this school in the last 20 years that started with Rodrigo Prieto and Amores Perros, which is more like naturalistic and even like the camera movements, though they were more handheld in that time. And for me, it was important to throw that to Son of Monarchs because also Alexis was clear that we wanted to represent like as realistic as possible all this like science side, no? And even like sometimes we were like tempted to play more like with this fantastic world of the butterflies and be more like, yeah, in that way or in that direction. We always like went back to this like essence, no? Where like all the inspiration came from the real locations where we were like scouting in Mexico and these colors. So then I was like, okay, I need to do the choice of the lenses, no? And I was like, okay, we have past, present, we have New York, we have Michoacán. And I think for me to keep everything in one world was the anamorphic choice, no? Because they have such a strong personality, these lenses, which are like the Lomo, round anamorphic. They're like Russian, actually Tarkovsky used to use these lenses in his last movies. And they're kind of difficult to work with because they are like in meters, like the focus moves like with the lens, so you cannot put a matte box. So they have a lot of limitations, but that limitations also, they help you to be more creative, no, or to solve things on the field in a different way. So I was confident of like, yeah, that was like the strong visual style we needed. And then also like with the camera movements, no, I was like, talking with Alexis about this like floating part, no, with like the steady cam, that it was more like, oh, like imagine like what if a butterfly is observing this character, no? How is that?
Oh yeah.
So that was pretty much like the thing, no? Just adding little elements in lighting to help to maintain that. As you said, no, for example, the window light is already there. So I was just needing a mini bounce to not look like completely dark, but I was not lighting all the interior with an HMI or anything like that. I was using a very small package, mainly LED lights to help me. It was a couple of things that I used big units at like the trapeze, the circus trapezist place. That one was like kind of a big warehouse where like light was changing all the time. So I was using like a a big units like M40s, HMIs. That was, I think, the biggest day of the budget using in that place. No, but you don't notice because at the end, I was just replicating this natural light coming inside. No?
Right.
That's what
right.
I like. I like to that you feel that is I light, but it's natural. Like you feel that it's kind of like natural light.
Yeah. You touched on this already a little bit in your answer there, but one of the reasons that I really admire this film is that the film is directed by Alexis Gambis, and he got his PhD in genetics, and so he has this very clear interest in keeping the science in his films as authentic as possible. And I think part of that is because, like, I am getting my PhD in biomedical engineering, so I'm particularly sensitive to when science is done poorly in films. So, like, when you see it done well, it's particularly exceptional. So I'm just wondering what it was like to work with Alexis and whether there was like a noticeable difference in the approach that he did versus other directors that you've worked with.
Yeah, no, it's very particular because as you may know, like, yeah, scientists or engineers and like yeah. you live in like in a different world and
very particular people.
Yeah. And for us as cinematographers, like one of our biggest tasks is to translate all that like world you have inside into images, no? And so that's a challenge, no? Because I think we portray the world in completely different ways. But like Alexis was helping in the sense that I was saying before, that he was very, very clear that we have to replicate. And I remember when we went to the lab and I was like, oh, great. Let's move the table to next to the window and put the microscope here. And he was like, no. That's not going to happen. We have to respect, like, because real people is working here. We cannot move, like, things. This is not a film set. Like, we got this and it's like an indie movie and we have to respect and work with that. And that was one thing that I was a little like, no, but come on, like light is beautiful here in the corner. And he was like, no. And so then from there, I was like, okay, this is great. And then I was like having so many surprises, like this room where it was like this pink light coming from inside. And I was like, what is this? No. And then he was like, yeah, if you come here, we have this big monitor and we can like put these colors and like, that's how exactly looks like, no? And then like where you have the butterflies on the top floor and is this like kind of garden with this like, you know, like more like big units of light that they like warm up the butterflies. And so all that was like, I like it in the sense that it was mini changes, but Alexis was very clear. Sometimes, of course, he gets obsessed with like, in my taste in the movie, like so many long takes of like dissection or like the microscope, but that's part of like what he was like, as you said, no, we have to please also the scientist people, no, not for me. I was like, oh, I just need like 20 seconds of that and let's move forward. And he was like, yeah. No. And now people talk all the time about that like first take that it's perfect and you see the dissection and all that, no? So
yeah, talking about those dissections a little bit, I mean, you are just setting me up perfectly for my transitions into my questions here, so thank you. But, you know, there's a lot of those microscopic shots where it's either of butterfly wings or the tiny little surgeries. Was that difficult? Were there any challenges with shooting through a microscope, I presume?
Yeah, I mean, it was like two different things in that sense. Like the first one is like... Yeah, we were working with a smaller camera the main camera what we used for the project was the Arri Alexa Mini. And then for the microscope scenes, we used the Canon C300. And it's funny because, now the microscopes, I didn't know that. You have like an adapter that you can connect directly the camera there. Mm. And then you can record exactly what is like the microscope seeing, no? So that's like, that was like kind of a new different world that like opened my eyes and it was great to work in that sense, but also you don't have too much room, no, like to be creative. At the end it's more like you're recording what like it's more science in that sense. Mm-hmm. And that was more Alexis like knowing what to do and or when, no? And then in the other hand we were working with like a combination of diopters with the anamorphic lenses to get as close as possible to the dissection. Of course, with like professional hands doing that, pretending that it was our actor, that it was impossible for him to learn in this short period of time. And then it was another part where we used like a macro lens, but it was more like in the tattoo parlor scenes where he is like getting this crazy tattoo and we go like super close. That was with the macro. But that's always a challenge, of course, because you need to use the light. That was, I think, the biggest challenge, no? Because sometimes it's easier to like overlight that. And also we were like, Alexis was very clear of like, we need to look like real, proper, and not like, this is not like a shampoo commercial or like a medicine commercial where and that was a little scare or getting into that places, but that, I think at the end it came out well.
Yeah. Well, on the kind of flip side of that, there are some scenes as the film progresses where Mendel starts to have this spiritual metamorphosis. And a lot of that is conveyed through these very fantastical, magical realism-esque shots of him floating underwater. How did you capture those? Is that actually underwater, or is that just movie magic to make it seem like it's underwater?
No, it's real water. We were shooting that. Actually, was like our last day of shooting in Mexico. We shot that in like in a pool in a tank that is made for that. And it was a big challenge because it was not easy for Tenoch to be like more than, I don't know, 20 seconds. And like, so we were like dealing with that. And I was like, oh, you told me that you know how to swim. And then that was not true that day. But it was a lot of fun. And it's always a challenge, you know, because requires like, yeah, kind of the secrets is like to black out like the pool with like black fabric. But then you have this like kind of black hole. And then you start to put light from above, like this kind of light, this other light or colors. And I was like kind of clear that I wanted to play with the orange, you know, because that's kind of the leitmotif of the movie with like the wings of the butterfly, the tattoo, you know, et cetera. So I was like, I want to have this light coming directly into the pool. And then I think somehow there were these plants there and I started to play. I was like, well, let's put these plants inside the pool. And then came out that it was like adding something, you know, and at the end they are there. And it's this like kind of, yeah, dream metamorphosis kind of craziness that the character is getting there. But it's interesting that you're the first person that mentioned that in the interviews. And I was kind of like forgetting that, but it was one of my favorite sequences, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's always cool to see how people do those, especially water sequences, because it's not something that you really think about as being difficult when you're watching it. But then you start to think that these people actually had to be in the water and figure this out and how take however many takes. So I always want to like learn a little bit more about that. And then on that note, I mean, my favorite thing about talking with filmmakers is that we get an appreciation for how difficult and how much thought is put into every single part of the film. So I wanted to ask, is there a specific scene or a specific sequence that was especially difficult to pull off or one that you were particularly proud of?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm very proud of the kind of all these ritual sequences that there are on the film. Because that was a big challenge because it involves like more people and it was like very cold at night and it's with fire. And I used like some units to help the fire, these Arri sky panels that they have the fire effect. And I remember my gaffer going somewhere on the top of that hacienda and like putting that light on the top. And then we were using real torches, no, with fire. They were like changing every 2-3 takes. So that was like kind of a difficult one because also we're like with like a tight like time, but I think came out so well. I think I'm so happy that you can't really feel that fire like lighting, no? And you cannot see that it's also LED lights helping that. And I think Of course, they have a special place, the butterfly scenes, like because that place is magical per se. And I recommend everyone at least once in life to go there and experience that because that's such a magical place. No, in terms of shooting, of course, we were very careful. Like, I couldn't bring any equipment besides the camera and the lenses. But it's all this, like, yeah, you can get crazy. I was like, oh, we can point here, we can point there. But it's like also keeping the same vibe of the movie, you know, which he was like more like, this is like the past and there are kids and they're like kind of observing, no? Because then, yeah, you can spend there like hours of footage. So that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges to maintain that quality during the film. And then I think also one of my favorite ones is like the funeral, where like it also involves a lot of people. It was a very small house with like the ceiling was kind of here. And I really like the tones, like, no, I was kind of a challenge to light that because also was very dark and involving all these people. And we have like a dolly movement. But I think all that moment with the, where the, he meets the brother, and also they go to this room and they have this discussion. Because also, I mean, they are such a great actors, no? Like, especially yeah. Tenoch and Noé Hernández, both. They are, I think, the best Mexican actors at the moment. And I think that really helps. But yeah, I think that's it.
All of those scenes are among my favorites of the film, so that's good to hear. So just to close us out, since we are the Movie Marathoners podcast here, I've been asking these marathon-related questions, and sometimes they've been a success, other times they've been really dumb, but I'm going to ask it anyways. So nice. Let's say you had to run a marathon and you were going to film the marathon. How would you want to capture your achievement? Like, you could use a GoPro, you could do an overhead drone footage, you could have somebody in a car driving with a handheld the entire time.
I mean, I think I will like shoot from a car or from a motorcycle with like Steadicam and a nice anamorphic lens. I think I will love to see that like running and it's, yeah. And just adding that is, I think I always say that like these careers, it's like a marathon. No, it's like, it's just not like a speed race. No, I think it's, I've been doing this for almost like 15 years, and I can tell you in the last 3-4, my career is like getting there. But yeah, that's why it's like, yeah, it's a marathon. We have to not arrive, maintain ourselves there. So that's why I will use the most great camera and nice lens to shoot that.
Just get the really naturalistic feel of you dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, dying a mile.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alejandro, thank you so much for joining me. This was an absolute honor.
Thank you, Mati. It was also a pleasure for me, and keep going with your podcast.
Thank you so much. Be sure to check out Alejandro Mejia's film, Son of Monarchs, when it is released later this year. This has been a Movie Marathoners Sundance 5K Series episode. Be sure to stay tuned for more Sundance coverage. You can find all of our Sundance 5K Series and the main feature episodes of Movie Marathoners, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, at our website, evergreenpodcasts.com/movie-marathoners, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much for listening, and remember that life's a marathon, so let's take it one movie at a time.
Hello, everyone. My name is Matt Neglia, and I am the host of the Next Best Picture podcast, part of the Film Entertainment Awards website, nextbestpicture.com. On our show, we explore all year long what is possibly going to win Best Picture at the Oscars. We do this by conducting interviews with people within the film industry, holding weekly reviews of the latest theatrical releases, and on our main show, where we dive into various different topics, answer your fan questions, and also do our best to explore Oscar history's past in hopes that it will tell us something new for this upcoming award season race. We hope that you will join us on all of the various podcasting networks. We look forward to seeing you over at nextbestpicture.com.